In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, give you thanks and praise for the gift of your graces. Graces which have saved us and brought us to eternal life and salvation. We ask your Holy Spirit to convert our hearts more deeply, to mature in our faith, and to give you the glory due to your most holy name. Amen. I really love being a priest. It's like the joy of my life. It's just a blessing, really, to be with people, all the dynamics of priesthood. Blessing people, giving God's blessings, being with them in the time of sorrow, the time of joy, and just really just giving them Jesus. And part of that beauty comes with, you know, a lot of responsibilities, one of which in the seminary is like really harped upon. Like, this is the realities of life. And if you don't like this reality, then just kind of walk away from seminary for now. But the reality of life is that as a priest, there's a public nature to priesthood. Yesterday I was in Home Depot, and someone was like, excuse me, I have a question for you. I was like, yeah, I don't work here. He's like, no, you're a priest, right? I was like, I am a priest. He's like, what's your question? I thought they thought I worked there, but it was, they just had a question about Jesus in Home Depot. Whatever. It is my life, and I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to embrace it. But it's just the nature of the beast. And part of the challenge of that, though, is that because we're like public figures, all public figures kind of live in this challenging world where they desire to serve, but oftentimes there can be a negative response to it. I think of things like police officers, politicians, teachers, all these kind of public servants who, for the most part, maybe not politicians, but for the most part, police officers and teachers, these kind of people, they desire the good of the people. They really do, right? They want to serve those whom they've been called to serve. But also the reality is, if you can do things perfect and pristine for a decade, and then one mistake can soil your entire reputation. All of it can go down the drain very quickly by one action. I think of our brothers and sisters who serve in the police officers. You know, during COVID, they were like demonized. It was wild that this would happen. Like, people who willingly choose to literally put their life on the line so we can pick up our phone and call at any time, at any hour of the day, to come and to serve us and to protect us, and they were being demonized. It was very disheartening. And I can only imagine how disheartening it was for them in their life, So how much more so for us and the reality of the spirituality of priests? Because we all have somebody in our life, whether it's an uncle or an aunt or a cousin, whomever, who just like, they refuse and reject God and his church in whatever varying degrees because of like an individual experience with an individual priest one time back in Baghdad or here in America, whatever. And they just like, this has been their life. Because of that one time, I will never step foot in the church. And like, we all have that experience. And I experienced that more often than you think. People really have a negative view of God or the church because of an individual's actions. Now, I'm not even talking about big things like the clergy sex abuse scandal, or there's a billion Catholics in the world. There's always going to be some sort of financial scandal that happens somewhere in the world. I'm talking about really small individual things. Now, I'm not complaining, I promise you, I'm not complaining or judging anybody. I'm just articulating a reality. And part of that reality for me as a priest, and all of us, all my brother priests, should be that because of that reality, we should be more careful. I should be held to a higher standard as a priest. I'll be judged more harshly in eternal life as a priest, as I should be. I should be, because I should know better, I should do better. At the same time, I know that I'm flawed and I'm broken, and I have bad days, some days I'm tired, I'm just off, whatever, and I might say something rude to somebody and that might hurt their faith forever, literally. I'm sure, I guarantee you, I've done it to somebody, or if not dozens of people, because I am flawed and I am a broken individual. And yet, God has chosen me. And yet, a lot of good can be done from an individual if we do it properly. Because this Thursday is the ascension of the Lord. This Thursday is where Jesus says to the church, after establishing the church on Peter and the apostles, after sanctifying the church, her bride, in his death and burial and resurrection, becomes 40 days after the resurrection, he says, all right, now you guys are in charge. You flawed, broken individuals that will hurt someone's feelings or be inappropriate or be broken or make maybe eventually have scandal, you're in charge of the church. Because he knew the wisdom and the desire to say it's their responsibilities now. Even in the gospel here, that Jesus talking to the Father, he said, we are one. It says, consecrate. No, I'll just read it. He says, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may be consecrated in the truth.
that what we should be desiring in our lives is the truth in Jesus Christ, and yet Jesus has sent individuals into the world to do that exact preaching. And for us as followers of Christ, our basis, the foundation of our faith is in the blood of the apostles who saw the resurrected Jesus, and then they themselves died. Yet you read their stories, even in Acts of the Apostles, they're constantly bickering. They're not perfect. They're actually quite imperfect. Even in Acts of the Apostles today, you have Cornelius, and takes two people, and they go, and there's Peter the Tanner, all these people, there's Simon the Tanner. Like, there's all these individuals in the Gospels that Christ is using to go and spread the Gospel, to make a change, to bring Jesus to people. We're going to be flawed. We're going to be imperfect. That doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, I can't do it. In fact, we have to encourage ourselves more and hold ourselves to a higher standard. Think of all of you. All of you are the 8 a.m. mass crowd here at St. Thomas. Who in their right mind on a beautiful Sunday morning here in Michigan would get up at 7:30, get yourself together, drive to church to come and worship Jesus? You are like Nashat Eta. You are church people. So you are held to a higher standard than the average non-church person. Every word you say, every action you make that is imperfect, whether it's business transactions or just being rude to somebody, or like, I don't know, being aggressive on the road, someone's going to look to you and say, aren't you that church person? Aren't you that person that sits in the same exact pew, the same every Sunday, the same exact spot? Don't you pray the rosary? How are you saying these kind of words? They're going to judge you for your inappropriate actions, and you will be held to a higher standard. Or, if you want to focus on the negative, that can be that. But really, focus on the positive. How many people, as a priest, have I been able to go and bless them at their bedside before they die? Or give them Jesus Christ in the sacraments, in the confession, in the Eucharist, in the anointing, all these beautiful gifts that God has given me. How many people have you encouraged in your faith? People look at you and say, you went to Mass on Sundays? Like, I love Jesus. I love God. I need God. Only God satisfies my heart. That's why I go to Mass on Sundays. It's like, really? Like, yeah. This peace that we have in Jesus Christ, that we hear from Ephesians, that St. Paul is preaching. He says, this is St. Paul preaching in Ephesians. He says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and martyrs. And the church is a foundation on individuals, on people, on broken, flawed people. Yet God wants to bring this peace that the world does not have anymore. The world is anxious. God wants to bring identity. You are citizens in a world that has lost its identity. In a crazy, crazy trans-agenda world, what's the issue, the root of it? Why are people so anxious in the world? There's no identity in anything, let alone in what will actually satisfy in Jesus Christ. And you can bear witness to that to the world around you by you being a disciple of Jesus. And that's incredibly beautiful. But we're flawed. So my challenge to you and to the community at large is to be less sensitive, be less consumeristic when it comes to God. What does that mean? You go to a restaurant, the server was rude to you, the food wasn't good, you're going to put a negative Google review, you can tell all your friends how it wasn't good, and you're never going back to that place. You're looking for a way to a flaw. I was talking to someone literally just yesterday, and they're like, Father Pierre, you know, I don't know what it is about St. Thomas, but the bathroom is always a mess. There's always like napkins on the floor. I'm like, do you ever pick up the napkins and throw them in the garbage? No. Why? If it's your home, if it's your church, you see something unclean, clean it. Make it better. If you see the church, the world around us doesn't know Jesus, bring them Jesus. Because not just church leadership, not just ushers like Nashat Eta, in reality, if we're not careful with how we judge individuals and how we are open to the Spirit of God, the biggest critic of ourselves is ourselves. That we look in the mirror and reflect upon our sins and say, I'm imperfect. Because if we allow that temptation of the evil one, what can happen is, if you just self-reflective, say, I am so flawed, I'm not worthy of God. I'm not worthy to go to God and to be in His presence and to be His disciple. And that's a lie. Because we're all worthy. Christ makes us worthy. By grace we have been saved. And because we know that first part, that it's not just me being judged by myself and judging myself, I'm patient with myself. I'm patient with my brokenness, I'm patient with my imperfections, and I love God, and God will satisfy me. Then we look at the Christian community and their imperfections and the imperfections of each other, and then even church leadership and the imperfections thereof. All that matters is Jesus. And we're all journeying together to Jesus. He knew what he was doing. Every ascension, I'm like, why did he have to leave? Why couldn't he have stayed and governed us? There wouldn't be division in the church. There wouldn't be all these problems.
But the wisdom of God is beyond ours. And he trusted his apostles. He trusts me. He trusts all of you to be ministers of his holy name and to be disciples and to be receptive to his grace and love and to find salvation and peace in this life and eternal life. Amen.